I love to see. It's like the sports version of Mystery Science Theater. So it's the Sklar brothers are funny.
You remember what was that one? It's like, was it Dream On? What was the one about the like sportscaster? And it ran for frickin' ever. It was like on HBO.
Arliss?
Yeah. Arliss, it just like ran forever. I like watched like three episodes from like...
I could never get into it.
Three or four different seasons. It was always the same episode.
Yeah.
It's like, I gotta catch this interview, guys. It's like...
Yeah, Arliss wasn't that good.
No, but it lasted for
it was on for a long time.
Hey, guys. We're going to start our episode talking about a old, we don't even call it failed. It was just an old comedy that nobody ever watched and has been gone for a while. We're just that cool. Welcome to episode 74 of the Scary Dead Podcast. It is March 12th, 2018. Can you believe March is already half gone?
I know, dude.
And this will be, again, episode 74, in which we're going to do a creature feature.
Yes,
we're going to start talking about some monsters. We've been talking about... let me go ahead and say, we're going to talk about the creature from the Black Lagoon.
The Gill Man himself.
Now, let me rewind. We've somehow managed... We've talked about scary movies. We've talked about monsters. We've talked about... all kinds of things, but somehow in over a year we've never mentioned Creature from the Black Lagoon.
We've talked about him here and there, but never
we talked about him here and yeah, but we've never given him his moment to shine.
Yes.
So it's time to talk about the Creature from the Black Lagoon. Interestingly enough, a quasi creature movie just won a major award, and most of the people who saw that movie and think it's beautiful have probably never seen its source material.
Right, and Del Toro, he says that his part of his inspiration for the movie was the Creature from the Black
Lagoon. Absolutely,
it was the Gill Man.
So we're gonna do a full, and I hope this will be one of many straightforward creature features. We're gonna talk about the Creature from the Black Lagoon, and everything that it's about. But first, we've got to talk about some old business.
Yes.
You already talked about some old business, Scott?
Yes. Let's go ahead and get into it.
All right. There's quite a bit of old business. I know you got some new business, but the most important old business is on this date in 1894, Coca-Cola was first bottled and sold. Doesn't that just make you feel all warm and cozy inside? Do you drink Coca-Cola?
Not too often.
It's a
little bit too sugary. It hurts my teeth.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Okay, this date in 1912, this is something you're interested in, because on this date in 1912, the Girl Guides, which would later be named the Girl Scouts,
cookies,
was founded.
Dude, those cookies I got from you brought to the office, and Tony ate like over half a box the first day.
So oh, yeah.
I had to hide some in my desk so to make sure I didn't like lose them all.
I take my daughter up to the barber shop, because I'm sitting in the barber's chair, and my barber's like, "Oh, yeah, bring her up here. It'll be cute. She'll sell, you know." And I bring her up there, and my daughter's so cute that everybody orders. Then I go up there to deliver, and she walks around to people that are just sitting in the chairs like, "You want some Girl Scout cookies?" They're like, "Damn it."
I need to get some more, actually. I need to restock.
I don't have that many more.
Okay.
We had a lot last time you were here.
Yeah.
Sold them. That's what we tell ourselves. Okay, on this date in 1918, Moscow becomes the capital of Russia again after St. Petersburg had held the status for 215 years. 215 years.
And they decided to move.
They're like, we're going to move it back to the old capital. 215 years. When you talk about old...
That's a long time.
That's a long time. Yeah. Okay. 1928. The St. Francis Dam in California fails and kills 431 people.
Wow. Incoming!
So say what you want about St. Francis. He wasn't real good about holding up the water.
You can't stop water when it wants to go somewhere, dude.
All right, and on this date in 2011, the Fukushima disaster, the nuclear power plant in Japan melts down after the tsunami wrecks the island.
I was actually being courted for a position in Japan just like shortly before that happened.
You could have brought home some samurai swords, dude. But yeah, that was no good.
No.
And just like,
that kind of made my decision. It's still my decision right there.
It's, nature is so fickle. So fickle. I know the ass end of fuck all about nuclear power. What I do know is that the core is water cooled. Mm-hmm. So you have this reactive core that sits in a pool of water, and then you have other water that touches that water, and all of a sudden it all becomes unstable, and it's just water. There's that water and that water, and once they touch each other, it's just like no longer any good. And it's just, can you imagine trying to explain our human condition to aliens? I mean, really. I mean, additives like salt notwithstanding, the aliens are like, what happened? Well, we had this hot thing sitting in water, and what happened? Water got in there. And then what happened? Everybody died, had to leave, and can't go back ever, forever, can't go back. That doesn't make any logical sense.
Well, a lot of things that you look at what we do, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. This is the way we operate.
But, man, and it's still hot. They haven't fixed that yet.
Right. Oh, yeah, no.
All right. This date in 1831, Clement Studebaker. Studebaker Automobiles. Studebaker. Yep. 1922, Mr. Jack Kerouac was born. You ever read a lot of Kerouac?
Not a whole lot. I'm familiar with him, but
I read quite a bit of Kerouac. Kerouac was good. Kerouac inspired a lot of hippies to not do things, because Kerouac wrote a lot of his stories while he was sitting around stoned, hanging around with his friends, and he's just like, oh, the stoned life of not doing anything is awesome. That's true. Mm-hmm. Except he graduated Brown University with a literature degree. He also played sports and had a scholarship. He was like super jock and all of these other things, and went off to find his own path. Then you've got all these college kids that are like, I'm going to follow what Jack Kerouac did. All he did was run around and think about things.
Yeah.
Well, first, he did a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
And he also died an alcoholic in pain. So, you know, yeah, what you can do.
So many creative people do.
On this date in 1946, Liza Minnelli was born. And I really don't know her about anything other than her name. She was on Hollywood Squares a lot.
Yeah, she used to sing on variety shows and stuff like that. I remember when we were younger, that kind of stuff. But
why was she famous on her own right? I mean, she's Julie Garland's daughter.
Right, well, she was a Broadway performer.
Perhaps.
She was big on Broadway.
Perhaps.
Song and dance.
You've got this Texas boy who's raised on He-Man and Skeletor.
I remember seeing her on different variety shows when we were a kid.
I don't know. Like, I wasn't taking a whole lot of gay Broadway when I was a kid. All right, and this date in 1947. Is he even in the news anymore, Mr. Presidential Candidate Mitt Romney?
Yeah, he was actually mentioned recently, I think.
Yeah.
Is possibly trying to run again, eventually.
1948, Fire and Rain, Mr. James Taylor. Perhaps the most important person on the list, 1953, Mr. Ron Jeremy.
The hedgehog himself.
The woodsman. That dude's got more nicknames. And, like, among men, he's like some sort of weird cult hero. Among women, he's probably like, oh, gross. But he's still done more of you than just about every man on the planet. So that dude's...
Joe Rogan tells a hilarious story about him that I'll tell you offline because it's a little bit too R-rated for
too
the show.
Too racy for the Scary Dad podcast? No
yes,
way.
Believe it or not, yes.
Go ahead, say it.
Yeah, Joe Rogan talks about how it was always rumored that Ron Jeremy could perform on himself. Now, you know, guys always say that they wish they could because they could just, but this is how overrated it is. He asked Ron Jeremy one day, can you still do that? And he said, no, afraid of gaining too much weight. So sandwiches were a better allure to this guy than being able to perform on himself. So he allowed himself to gain so much weight, he can't do it anymore. That's how overrated it is.
Okay. Should just stop right there. Hit cut, move on. But we're not going to do that. Okay, on this date in 1956, Mr. Steve Harris. How do you know Steve Harris? He is the bass player and the creator and pretty much the main drive behind the band Iron Maiden.
Okay.
So, every kid you ever remember walking around with an Eddie t-shirt, you know, Iron Maiden, this guy, he pretty much came up with the whole, all of it. Okay. I think he's like the primary songwriter. He does it all. And, which is almost a little bit funny. So, for me anyway, in the Scary Dad podcast, because it's a little, I would have probably skipped by his name if it wasn't for some recent events. So I wrote a story recently for a different project. For those of you who don't know, I write stories from time to time. And I was writing a story for a project, and in that project, I needed to... I was writing about basically the Satanic Panic, like 80s heavy metal and stuff like that. And Iron Maiden, for whatever reason, like, honestly... It's kind of this weird thing. Like, I have never really been a fan of Iron Maiden, so I've never really known them. But at the same time, I know all of their songs. Like, if I hear an Iron Maiden song,
yeah, you know the song.
I know that song.
Right.
I don't know who plays it, but I've heard that song a lot.
Right.
But as far as like buying their records, wearing their shirts, being a fan of Iron Maiden, never so much. And if you ask me, like, what does Iron Maiden play? I'd be like, I don't know. Like, I think there's that. I would describe an Eddie picture. I wouldn't necessarily describe a song. But listening, like trying to write this song, I went and listened to a bunch of their songs and was like, holy shit, I know that one and that one and that one and that one. But then I started, as with all things, especially when you reach our age, you start looking at things in different lights and you're like, oh shit, this is something that completely passed me by. Hmm. I remember looking at Iron Maiden posters and being like, that's awesome. And seeing people wearing Iron Maiden shirts and being like, I wish I was that guy because my dad would whoop my ass for wearing that shirt. And then, like, listening to Iron Maiden songs being like, shit, I've heard that shit forever. I know that song.
Right.
But now it's like kind of reawakened this thing inside of me that I go back and I'm like listening to a whole bunch of this old stuff and I'm like really, really enjoying it. Like I am a fucking really late Iron Maiden fan. So I've been driving around jamming to Iron Maiden for like the last, I don't know, 6 weeks. Just being
better
like,
than a lot of stuff you hear nowadays on the radio.
Well, that's the messed up thing is I'd like, I will switch something or change. I'd be like, the hell is this crap? Let's go back to Maiden. So, that being said, happy birthday to Mr. Steve Harris. Sorry I missed you the first go around, but I'm still here, so I'm jamming to you now. All right, 1962, Daryl Strawberry.
Okay. Let's give a sniff for Mr.
Strawberry. He starts sniffling in The Simpsons. That was whenever he started crying because they were heckling him. All right. Let's go to notable deaths. That was happy birthday, everybody. Notable deaths. Remember Morton Downey Jr.?
Yeah. Oh, very well. I remember that show. He used to crack me up.
That dude used to smoke and yell. Smoke and yell. You can't yell anymore, so he probably wouldn't.
He was Phil Donahue. He was like the trailer park Phil Donahue is what he was.
Yeah.
Which is saying a lot.
All right. And 2015, Mr. Terry Pratchett. He wrote the Discworld series and a lot of other science fiction.
Yeah,
he and Neil Gaiman were real good friends.
Yeah, I know the name.
They just completely revolutionized the fantasy series. So
I saw it signed to American Gods the other day at Half Price Books.
Really?
Yeah.
It was signed?
Yeah.
And you didn't get it for me?
It's $150.
Okay, never mind then. I thought you just found it on the shelf.
No, like, no, no.
Oh, this they is had it this is an $8 shit.
They had it in the collector section.
So. Yeah. Half Price Books used to be where you could find, like...
They don't have anything cheap anymore.
They don't have things cheap, and they go through and they eBay everything.
Because I found they eBay it wrong, too, which drives me nuts when people do that. But they have a whole set of 1980s Dungeons & Dragons guidebooks. $40 a piece.
Yeah, that's stupid. And
you can get them for cheaper on eBay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Half Price Books... fails.
I don't know what they're half price of.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, if there's like some stupid paperback, then it's still half price. But if it's of anything good, I mean, they used to just like have everything. So, I know this sounds pretentious, but like I was into like weird poetry. And like go up and find a book of, I've got a book in there of Charles Baudelaire's Flowers of Evil. It's like a 1920 something edition, like an old edition that I got for like $4 at Half Price Books. Can't do that anymore. That would be like a $40-$50 book.
It would be in the collector section.
Yeah. So yeah, I was at Half Price Books yesterday. They had a hardcover of Salem's Lot early print, which is one of those things that I really want. But it had glitter paint all over the cover. I was like, no thanks.
Who the hell had that thing?
Why would you let your kids glitter paint your Salem's Lot? Anyway, let's take a break real quick and we'll come back with new business.
The shape. The face. The town. The night. 10 years later. Back. No! Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, rated R.
Starts Friday, the theater or driving near you.
All right, let's hit it old business style.
Ready for some new business?
Let's do it. I just cracked open a beer. It better be interesting.
Okay. Remember we talked about the Clown Motel before?
Yeah.
Well, they're making a movie about the Clown Motel. And what's cool about it is it's starring Ari Lemon, the first Jason, and Tony Moran, who was the first Michael Myers.
Nice.
And it's being directed by Joseph Kelly and Jeffrey Reddick, the guy that created Final Destination, is helping out with the project too. So that ought to be pretty neat. I got that to look forward to.
Speaking of Final Destination, did you see what happened yesterday?
No. With what?
There's like either people killed or in critical condition because a lumber truck dropped their load onto the cars behind them.
Oh, damn.
And smashed some windows and either killed or hurt some people really badly.
Damn. In other movie news, they have released they have given out a release date for The Crow, which is still going to be starring Jason Momoa. But they're planning on it being released October 11th, 2019. So Halloween 2019, we'll be having the Crow reboot.
Mm, got better things to do on Halloween than watch some crap that I don't want to see. You?
Yeah. Like, you know how I feel about that reboot. I've already made it very, very well known. Let me see. Devil's Rejects. It starts shooting in March. Devil's Rejects Part 2. So that'll be coming out. They still don't have any synopsis or anything yet, so we don't know what it's going to be about, but filming definitely starts here pretty soon. Did you read about the Jason Voorhees statue that was placed in a lake in Minnesota? Yes. That's pretty cool, dude. for those of you that don't know, there's a Jason statue that was planted years ago by someone 120 feet down in a Minnesota lake so that divers passing by would run into it. But it's chained around the neck just like the end of Part 6.
That's awesome.
Essentially is what they were trying to reenact, but it was planted in 2013. So it's gone through some wear and tear over the years, and it looks kind of beat up now, but I'm sure that's a crazy thing to see, too.
But so does Jason.
Yeah, it's supposed to look like that. All right.
If it ever wears out, you can always just drop another one. You can just be like, it's just drop him with the blue stripes on his mask instead of the red one. Be like, well, it's Jason. It's part five Jason. Okay.
Okay, in Perth, Australia, a family was walking down the sand dunes on the beach, and they noticed a bottle in the sand. So they picked it up. They had an old note in it. Well, come to find out, it's a 132-year-old note in a bottle from a German ship. Apparently, way back when, the message is dated June 12, 1886. And what Germany was doing is they had a project going on where their ships would throw out hundreds of bottles with notes asking to send the bottle to this address where you found it, because they were trying to map ocean currents. And it's been verified that this is actually a 132-year-old note they found.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy, dude.
So back in 1886, Germany was trying to take over the oceans.
Yeah, they were trying to understand the oceans take over. Now, save the best for last, of course. Headline, crime spree prompted by zombie fears. Fearful of an impending zombie apocalypse, an agitated Illinois man stole a car, rammed the vehicle into an airport terminal, then somehow made his way to the tarmac, boarded a vacant plane in an apparent bid to escape zombies.
Wow.
When the plane wasn't, when he realized the plane wasn't going anywhere, I guess he got off the plane, broke the window of a police car, broke into the police car. Can you guess where he was trying to go?
The police station?
Florida.
Well, there you go.
He was trying to get to where he belongs in good old Florida. They haven't released what drugs he was on, but apparently he was...
In about 50 or 60 years... Because Florida's a peninsula. I'm not exactly sure how far across it is from coast to coast. But there is a... you know, like Donald Trump talks about building a wall. He's talking about building a wall from, Texas all the way to El Paso. Like, right. All the way across Texas. And that's like 800 miles. Florida's only like 2.
Yeah, we can block that off pretty quick.
One of these days, we're just going to build a wall and be like, everybody in Florida can just stay there. with your gators and your nonsense, just have at it.
Yeah, so they're not sure what kind of drugs he was on or why he thought zombies were pursuing him or why he thought that Florida would be the spot to go to escape the zombies, but...
Florida would not be the place to go to.
You can't run anymore. You're stuck.
Yeah, you're
like cornered.
There's water, and you don't think zombies are going to eat alligators?
But that's it for new business tonight.
All right, let's take a break and listen to some heavy metal, and we'll be right back.
Studies show that animals, just like humans, prefer hit music. Note, although surrounded by deadly snakes, I'm protected by the all-new, all-hit 96 WHYT-FM. HYT is the only station that plays all hits all the time. Now watch. Feelings. Please, don't try this with any other station. Karma, 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 karma.
96 WHYT, all-new, all-hit.
Was that metal enough for you?
I hope so.
Honestly, dude, the way I record these... I only listen to like the last 30 seconds of the previous segment before I drop the commercial or the song in. I never listen to what we're just talking about right now. So me talking to myself, myself doesn't have any idea what I'm doing. He's going to be like, yeah, that's good enough.
Right.
So if I said, like, let's listen to some polka, and then I'm going to come back and be like, was that metal enough for you? We're going to be like, anyway, let's get into the heart of the show.
Before we go on, just want to give a quick shout out to the folks at Space City Chronicles on Houston Public Access TV. I was on the show last night, of course. You will definitely have to come with me the next time.
For sure.
I was the big winner of the Guess That Smell game.
Did you win that?
I won that. I won the Guess the Smell game. And we pretty much took over the rest of the time just talking about toys and horror movies and cosplay. So
awesome.
It was an awesome time, and look forward to being back on that show. So
killer.
Hand it over to you. Let's go ahead and get started.
All right, let's get started. Creature from the Black Lagoon. Dun, dun, dun.
Classic, classic stuff.
Strangely enough, we should have done this one last week, because Creature from the Black Lagoon was released on March 5th.
Yes.
Of 1954.
Think about that, 54.
1954.
And I remember that movie being, the original movie being a big deal when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I was born in 73. You know, there's probably 80, 81. I take that back, it was 83. I remember that's when it came on TV, and it was a big deal. Like I was telling Wife of Scary Dad earlier, it was a huge deal because they were showing the 3D version on television.
Yeah.
And there was a place you could go get glasses. Well, my mom wasn't able to get the glasses, so she got some of that clear plastic report folders. Remember those with the little slide thing? She found some blue ones and some red ones and made 3D glasses for us. Oh, we could watch it at home.
Did it work?
Yeah, it worked. It worked the same thing. So
that's awesome. Well, it's crazy because Creature's always held a place in my heart. You know, I've always been a fan of Jaws and any kind of underwater monster. And, you know, obviously underwater monsters, things like, you know, sharks and snakes and alligators have eaten people forever. but the creature kind of, he takes all those things and he kind of wraps them into a sympathetic character of like, I'm everything you ever were afraid of, but I'm also you too. So, just the way that he looks and the way that he acts. And I've mentioned it on the show many times before when we talk about different movies, is when I was a teenager, my dad, he didn't want me to be some stupid, you know, I wasn't a millennial, I was a Gen Xer, but he didn't want me to be some stupid kid with no trace to his past. So he's like, oh, here's a bunch of movies you need to watch. And Creature was one of them. And I remember distinctly, you know, things like Dracula, Frankenstein, Creature, like those universal monsters. Of at the point at which I was watching them in the 90s, they had long since become caricatures of themselves.
Yeah.
They were not scary. They were selling Coca-Cola and whatever else.
Right. They weren't the slashers. They weren't the Jasons of the Fringe or anything.
And so you're just kind of like, whatever, dude. But, you know, then when you watch Frankenstein with, you know, you take yourself out of yourself and you just throw on the 30s version of Frankenstein and you watch it. Oh, my God. That is a sad movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe not very scary, but, man, is it sad. And it really makes you think, like, because, again,
the creature, the monster didn't deserve it.
Being an awkward teenager, like, I relate to that guy. Mm-hmm. And Creature from the Black Lagoon is one of those that I always related to the monster, not in a, like, oh, I'm this, but I felt for the guy.
He wanted to be left alone. They went and bothered him. They went on in his territory, you know?
He's sitting there looking out, you know, he's looking through the trees or looking through the water and being like, what's this?
Yeah, what are you guys doing here?
And, you know, he does have his moments of taking some people out, but then you also have to be like, well, he doesn't have that same... Anyway, we'll get into that. March 5th, 1954. Creature from Black Lagoon. It was originally released in 3D. It was filmed in 3D. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately for the Creature from the Black Lagoon, 3D was on its way out whenever it got released. So 3D was actually only shown in big cities. Most everybody else saw it in 2D, which is like the flat, which is what most of us prefer to watch movies on.
That old 3D was headache inducing, as you remember.
Well, it still is.
Yeah.
Remember, there's like maybe...
Well, the new 3D now that you see in the movie theaters is a lot different than the blue and red polarized 3D.
It's still...
But it's not nearly as bad.
It's had its fads up and down, and I don't think 3D is ever going to really make it. I mean, you see in 3D. When you're watching a screen, it's difficult to transfer with your brain. But it was filmed in 3D. It was re-released in 3D in 1975, which is kind of neat, like 30 years later. But even then, they still had to do 2D theaters because they were not able to make the 3D effect just perfect.
Right.
Well, Creature from the Black Lagoon came from the producer, William Allen, was told about a Mexican myth of a race of half-fish, half-human creatures in the Amazon. And then later on, he took that story and he mixed it with the concept of Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
Which is beautiful, considering that Shape of the Water, which is essentially that exact story...
Right.
Just won the Academy Award for Best Picture. So, we're going to go back to Creature from the Black Lagoon for a minute before we talk about Legacy. But that's just a couple of production notes. What have you got on Creature?
Oh, some other things. The Gillman himself was designed by Millicent Patrick, who worked for Disney Animation. She's the one that came up with the actual concept of the Gillman himself, as far as the artwork of him, which is one of the most that head and those hands, is one of the most iconic, figures in old Universal Monster.
Absolutely, in all pretty much of movie history. We were talking about it on our Academy Awards show, which landed last week. Things like The Shining. The Shining never won an Academy Award. But if you could put The Shining up against just about any horror movie that should be a contender for Academy Award, can you imagine it not winning?
Right.
Millicent was... I don't even know. Did she go by Millie or something? Millicent Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
She created the Gillman.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why I want to say Gillman.
Gillman.
but the makeup designer, like the primary makeup designer, like didn't think a woman needed to know about or needed to be credited with makeup effects.
Mm-hmm.
So he downplayed her role and took credit for her work, which is some bullshit. Because she also worked on a lot of other movies as well.
Bud Westmore.
Bud Westmore. We didn't want to talk about him because he diminished her.
Right.
So we're not... Yeah,
she's the one that... She should get the credit for it, for sure.
Absolutely.
There's another interesting thing about the Creature. Rotten Tomatoes has an approval rating of 84% of this movie. That's pretty impressive for a movie that was made in 1954.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. And is that high rated on Rotten Tomatoes?
Like I said, when we were talking about it, I haven't watched it in at least a couple of years. It's... not difficult to find on video, mm-hmm. but I want to get a good copy, whatever that means. But you can't get it on demand. My dad was a very big fan of Johnny Wussmuller, who was Tarzan,
mm-hmm.
and he used to point out like the underwater scenes.
Yeah,
that Tarzan would swim underwater and like either with elephants or whatever, and he pointed out that he's like that predated Creature, but a lot of that underwater cinematography was made possible by the Tarzan underwater, because they used to just like sink a camera and a diver,
Right.
And the diver had to be careful and make sure his bubbles
didn't interfere with the shot,
exactly. And it was Rico Browning was the diver.
Mm-hmm.
But he would hold his breath and swim as the creature, and those underwater shots are just amazing.
Well, yeah,
even
are.
Now.
For the clarity and just for what they were, especially for that time, it's pretty impressive.
Because you could hide stuff behind reeds, or you could do, but with, honestly, with the creature in the Black Lagoon, it was all completely wide open.
Mm-hmm.
It's just open water, and excuse me, I'm getting beclimped. I'm joking. Stifling a sneeze. Sorry about that. All right, so I grew up the creature of the Black Lagoon, from the Black Lagoon, as just a given. He was just part of movie history.
Yeah.
He was part of the black and whites. He was a friend of Dracula, Frankenstein. It was at Christmas time that on Facebook I found out that, I mean, I don't know why I would have thought she died, except for most people from that period
away,
have gone on. But Julie Adams, who played Kay, she's still alive. She's still doing conventions. She's still signing, and she's still active and
getting around and everything.
Yeah,
yeah.
And when I found that out, I was floored. And any of you guys who are listening to this show right now, reach out to Julie Adams. She's still there. She was a Hollywood star. Her most notable role was Creature from the Black Lagoon. Mm-hmm. She's that pretty brunette girl in the white bathing suit that you always see in the press pictures. She's like 95 years old, and she's signing autographs.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out, and she'll sign an autograph for you. I had the pleasure of chatting with her online, actually, because I ordered something and it didn't come right. And I was like, hey, what's going on? And it was a very friendly conversation. I was glad I had it. And it's my little touch with that kind of movie history. I'm so excited that I was able to have that conversation. I remember coming over to your house to do a show, and I was like, dude, look at this.
Yeah.
And
that was awesome to hear. It was awesome to find out that she was still active and signing.
And that picture's on my wall in my office. You've seen it. You can mm-hmm. testify to it. It's like right there. Like, it's back whenever they used to make these horror movies. I mean, it's rated G. It was not blood.
Yeah, it was not a gory
guts.
Movie. It was.
It was suspense.
It's like King Kong. It was King Kong with a water creature.
Yeah. I love Creature from the Black Lagoon so much. And it's got so much, again, and just, I'm, like you said, water creature. And it's like, I'm a child of the water. I just, you know, and I love the fact that a modern retelling of the same story has basically gotten all kinds of critical acclaim, including Academy Awards, which, you know.
And like I said,
it only came out right before the Academy Awards, too. So it's like,
the director has attributed, you know, the influence. And it's not like they're trying to be their own movie. You know, he's basically paying homage to Creature
right.
from the Black Lagoon. And, you know, what was crazy is, you know, we have Shape of Water now, but. You know, there's been six times people have wanted to remake this film.
Mm-hmm.
And each time it began to be remade, but then it got canceled. There's never been a remake of Creature from the Black Lagoon, which is just, when you think about how Hollywood seems to get into these slumps where they can't come up with original ideas. They want to do remakes. You would think there would have been one that would have been remade a long time ago.
John Carpenter wanted to do it with Rick Baker.
Mm-hmm.
Of all people. John Carpenter and Rick Baker wanted to remake Creature from the Black Lagoon. Remember, guys, The Thing that you know is a remake. The good thing. The thing that everybody cites as their favorite horror movie. Mm-hmm. The snow movie with Kurt Russell. That's a remake. Right. John Carpenter made that remake. He wanted to make a remake of The Creature from the Black Lagoon with Rick Baker on visual effects. And he was turned down by Universal. Universal was like, no, that's not where we want to go. So I've talked about this, you know, like being a fan of Sandman. Just real quick aside. In the comic book series, The Sandman by Neil Gaiman, Morpheus, the Sandman, he has a library. And inside the library is dedicated. Every single book in there is the idea of the book or the movie or the play that was only sort of written. It was the idea that never got. Mm-hmm. And it's an endless library. Can you imagine the John Carpenter's Creature from the Black Lagoon with Rick Baker on visual, on makeup effects?
It would have been scary as hell. It would have definitely...
If not scary, then just brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
That is one of those books that I would check out of that cosmic library. I just need to see what that would have been.
Right. Now, of course, the latest reboot discussion has been with Universal wanting to redo all the movie monster movies, starting with The Mummy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were supposed to start filming The Bride of Frankenstein, but that got shut down because of the lack of success from The Mummy. So I'm not sure if they're going to continue
trying to go for that. Well, actually, you are the new businessman.
Yes.
I went and new businessed your ass. So, the failure of The Mummy seemed to shelve the Creature from the Black Lagoon remake. But in January of 2018, production team was reassembled for Bride of Frankenstein, and now they're looking at Wonder Woman's Gal Gadot to be the bride. Which means there's hope for Creature.
Yeah. I still don't know if I like that casting of the Bride of Frankenstein, though.
She's a charismatic...
It's
better than fucking Tom Cruise.
Right. Well, it was Angelina Jolie they originally wanted for Bride of Frankenstein.
Okay, well then Gal Gadot...
is better than that.
Is better than Bride.
It makes more sense.
And fucking any kind of worm or toad... it's better than Tom Cruise for damn near anything. So if you want to remake Bride of Frankenstein, I don't even care about Bride of Frankenstein. You like make it
to get it out of the way so we can move forward.
Move forward and then like bring a Creature from Black Lagoon. And wouldn't it be great if Guillermo del Toro made it with? Yeah.
Well, he actually was
Abe Sapien.
One of the original one of the original reboots, he was lined up to be the director of. They got canceled back in 2001, I believe.
Yeah, John Carpenter, Peter Jackson, Ivan Reitman,
or John Landis even tried to make a remake back in 1982.
Yeah,
he was pushing for one.
So there's so many call-outs, too. So you might be listening to this and be like... You might be like me. And Creature from the Black Lagoon is honestly a lot like Sleepy Hollow, Headless Horseman, where you've seen a lot of different versions or you've seen iterations, but you've never actually seen, like, read the book or seen the movie. Like, the Gill Man was in Monster Squad.
Yes.
And they resurrected the monsters. Right after the movie came out in the 7-year itch, Marilyn Monroe, They had just seen it. They were walking down the street, and he's like, wasn't that scary? And she points out that, like, all he wanted to do was be loved. So she was sympathetic to the monster, mm-hmm. and that was only a year later. There is a definitive Gill woman in Nightmare Before Christmas. There's a missing link monster in Aliens vs. Monsters, mm-hmm. which is a DreamWorks movie.
Yeah.
There's a Gill man in Hotel Transylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Shape of the Water just came out. And funny enough, Macaulay Culkin, of all people, he live-tweeted the Oscars. And, like, you got to check it out. It's on the Chive. It's hilarious.
Hey.
Macaulay Culkin has been trolling people forever because that dude retired.
He doesn't give a shit. He's got a ton of money, dude.
That dude retired at 19 with, like, $40 million.
Right.
He's just like, I'm just... But he's, like, dressed in a tuxedo playing with Macaulay Culkin action figures. He's like, this is what I'm doing instead of watching the Oscars. And he's just, like, playing on the floor. It's hilarious. He's like the shape of the water. He's like, water is the shape of whatever container it's in.
Unless it's ice, then it can be taken off.
He's like, this movie sucks. He's just, like, hilarious. In the book, It, there's a creature from the Black Lagoon that kills the victim in Gillman form. And then you've got Abe Sapien in Hellboy.
Mm-hmm.
It was literally a creature from the Black Lagoon. There was sequels in 1955, which this one was in 1954.
Yeah, the year after they came out with Revenge.
Yeah, there was
the
Revenge creature. Of, and then
that was... The Creature Walks Among Us was the third.
And Revenge, that was Clint Eastwood's movie debut.
Okay.
So if it was not for Creature from the Black Lagoon, there might not be a Clint Eastwood.
Or would have been delayed, at least.
Oh. Clint Eastwood's good, but you have to... Like, all the people he met in this... is what put him into his next right. thing. I was having an argument with a buddy of mine. My buddy Terrence, by the way.
I know Terrence.
And we were having an argument about a philosophical conversation and not to get into the thing we were discussing, but the thing we were discussing was all of the things that we know that brought us to where we are now could be changed by one little thing in the back. It's the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
If something happened that just, if I had not decided to go to that bar that night, I wouldn't have known you, and then life would have been different. Blah, blah, blah. He's like, well, you can't say that things would not have happened the way that they happened because things happened the way that they happened. He's like, things would have been different. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, but the only way you can discuss that is us here now. Us here now are a result of the things that happened in the past.
Yeah.
We probably would not have met if I would have gone a different direction that night. It just wouldn't have happened. So if it wasn't for the Creature from the Black Lagoon sequel that got critically panned and was not very popular...
Wood.
Not bugs. Not mice. Not that big ass frickin' raccoon. No, we would not be, you know, we wouldn't have Clint Eastwood. Back to the Future. What's your name? Clint Eastwood. What kind of pussy name is that?
You know, one thing you had mentioned a little while ago was Marilyn Monroe saying, you know, he just wanted to be loved. And it's one thing about movies like Creature from the Black Lagoon and Frankenstein and Wolfman, that kind of stuff. If you look at the movie, and that's why I love the remake of Frankenstein that came out a couple of years ago. If you look at the movie from the monster or the creature's perspective, it's a different movie than if you look at it from the people that are invading their area and bringing it upon themselves. You know, it's some movies are designed to where that's how you're going to see it, and that's how you got to take the creature movies. You know, the creature swimming around, hanging out, not bothering anybody except when people come to mess with him. And here comes this big-ass boat with an expedition, you know, jumping in the water, you know, gas fumes all over the place, you know, messing up his pad. What do you think he's going to do?
Dude, I remember, like, I was jotting down notes. So I hit YouTube, and I just hit that video of where Kay, it was Julie Adams, she's like, I'm going to go swimming, guys. And I'm like, okay. And I just think about, because apparently this was just normal back in the day. This is just what happened. You've got this hot brunette. She jumps like 18 feet from the deck of the boat into the water. She like dives. And she swims like half a mile out. And I'm sitting here watching her, and she's like ridiculous, because back then this was just normal. But the boat's over there, and she just freaking just keeps... She's on the surface, and she's just casually just like doo-doo-doo. But she just swims like so far away from the boat. And it's only when she gets so far away from the boat, then the gill man's like, dun, dun, dun. He's like, what's this? I'm going to go touch that butt. But man, she was like a really, like, I'm looking at the house over the fence and across the way. It's like that boat was like across the street and like two streets over. Like she was deep in it. And she was in the middle of the freaking Amazon.
Right, alligators.
Where they're investigating like dead things. Like things tend to die when they come out here. She's like, well,
I'm going to go for a swim. Boat. I'll see you guys later.
I'll see you later.
I don't need a gun or anything. I'm fine. Just my bathing suit.
That's a pretty bathing suit. All right, man. What you got left?
That's about it, man. Just is definitely embedded in horror history.
Absolutely.
And if you have never seen the Creature movie, it's something that you need to try to see.
Creature from the Black Lagoon is one of those, again, with Universal Monsters, like, I've always been a real big fan of vampires, but I'm not a huge fan of Dracula. I really did get sucked into Frankenstein, you know, the 1939, like, Frankenstein, like, I'm totally in. Creature from the Black Lagoon is it's a whole different monster, but I love it.
It was an incredibly unique concept as far as the creature itself. It followed a lot of the same elements of previous movies, like I said, King Kong, Frankenstein, a whole bunch of those other ones. Just, you know, misunderstood creature that, you know, who was invaded by people, and he fought back. You know, he pushed them, he pushed back. But the creature itself was just so unique compared to anything else we had ever seen.
He's got the claws, he's got the gills on his head.
Swims. Humanoid fish. The missing link. Yeah. Know?
And from our Sea Monsters and Lake Monsters episode, the way we talk, that shit is real.
Yeah.
It might not be a gill man, it might be a lungfish, but still. It's out there. So what kind of music do we need to close this one out? Remember, I'm not going to listen to what you say. I'm just going to hit the last four beats.
Yeah, I know.
And be like, oh, I can't tell.
The thing that keeps popping up is Monster Mash, because we're talking about the Universal Monsters.
Yeah.
You know.
Either that or like the Monsters theme or something. Yes. I don't know, but like... like some kind
was
of... Like,
there was also Gil Man and Saturday the 14th, wasn't there?
Yes, there was.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to find that movie.
Nobody
so bad.
Knows about that movie.
I haven't seen that when I was a kid. I loved that damn movie, but I haven't seen it in so long.
It's kind of like a cross between, I don't know, like, I remember it like feels very much like The Money Pit.
Yeah, it was like the original Scary Movie.
They got
parody of horror movies.
It's a parody, but they like move into the house.
So yeah.
It's very much like The Money Pit.
Yeah.
Where it's like, everything in here sucks. He's like, this sucks. And he closes the door and turns around. There's a monster behind him, like, Saturday the 14th. I remember that.
Some classic stuff, man.
Like, I remember it being a, like, everybody was like, that movie's stupid. I was like, I
loved it. Take it for what it is, man. Take it for what it is.
All right, man. Well, I think that's going to be, and fittingly, episode one of our creature feature. We already talked. We talked about Frankenstein. We talked about Frankenstein in his different forms, but monsters really kind of starting in. We got to talk about Godzilla.
Dude, there's a list. The creature feature list that I pulled up of just movies that would be considered monster movies or creature features. It's 70 movies long.
All right, well, then we got 70 episodes. That's a whole year and a half.
Godzilla would be a great one to go to next, actually. Because off of Godzilla, you also have Mothra. You have so many other movies that came out of Godzilla. Godzilla was a big one, too, from when we were growing up. But, I mean, there's just so many monster movies that came out over the years. It was a mainstay for a lot of these movie production companies. You know, they knew the creature features would sell. The drive-in theaters, you know, you want to take your date, you want her to hug up close to you, take her to see a monster movie.
Dude, and that's one of those things, like, that's what makes a Friday the 13th successful. A Nightmare, like, it's weird whenever you talk to people who aren't horror fans, and they're like, why does it, like, well, I didn't write it, but it touches something. It touches mm-hmm. something primal and touches something important. Like, well, I've got to protect my girl from this monster that... It's so much fun. And I really have to say thank you to Julie Adams for sending me that signature.
Yeah, it's so awesome, man.
Thank you for sending me another one when the first one got lost in the mail, because... the mail is stupid. But I really appreciate it. And here's to the Creature from the Black Lagoon. Here's to Shape of the Water from winning Academy Awards. Here's pretty much what it comes down to, is here's to Creature from the Black Lagoon being given the grown-up attention it deserves.
Right.
And with that, I think that's an episode. Let's
sign off on that one.
Yep. Keep it scary, guys.
Later.
Would you have it any other way? You couldn't have it any other way. 'Cause she's a cruel.